This is a News Burp podcast. Visit www.thenewsburp.com for more shows on our network.
Welcome to News Burp, the show that trawls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and him over there is Adam.
Hello.
And the other over there, him, is Paddy.
Hello.
And this is episode 204.
Woo.
Yeah, we're still doing it.
We're still doing it. We're still isolating. We're still on Skype. That's okay. How's everybody doing? Are we all sick? Are we all dead yet?
No, not so. The very opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well and alive. Yeah. Everson's great, Matt. Thanks very much for asking.
Yeah. Well, everybody keeping busy, keeping safe, keeping away from other people.
Yeah. Geez, I love doing that.
Yeah. Well, I do it as much as I can anyway. This quarantine is just an extension of my everyday life.
Yeah, it suits me down to the ground, I got to be honest.
Yeah. It's fantastic. The only thing that upsets me is that I have to go out and get like groceries and shopping and stuff.
Yeah, we're doing the whole click and collect. So you're doing the computer. You go to someone, he just goes, there you are, and I go, thanks, and you get out.
Yeah, I'd have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just get it delivered. I could just be really lazy.
We did that, and then we read a thing saying, oh, save this for, you know, the poor and the old and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, fine.
The poor and the old. It's always about them, isn't it?
Nobody ever thinks about us affluent and rich white men.
that's what I'm saying. Nobody ever spares a thought for us. Here we are, you know, sitting here in my house coat like some sort of vagrant.
I really wish I was an old crippled black woman.
Yeah, I know. It's never been a better time.
Paddy of Olive, that is definitely what you do not want to be. I know. Fine, well, you're thinking, no. No way.
So there we are. So has anybody got any news before we kick off with the show? Has everybody? No?
Was it my house?
Yeah.
What do you want?
How's your house doing, huh?
It's grand.
Yeah. How many arguments have we had versus how many arguments we would have had if we weren't quarantining?
I think we're actually kind of staying away from each other.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like normal life then.
Yeah. Because I'm working from home, helping do it with the homework and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of in the office of that. Tina's cleaning and looking after the food and shopping, and the girls are doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It is.
Well, I can't work from home, so I'm just sitting at home.
Yeah, good for you.
What are you doing, Paddy? You working from home?
Oh,
you should be working now, shouldn't you?
I'm fine. Teaching my daughter things.
What kind of things are you teaching her?
How to shave.
How to kill a man at 15 yards. we bought a thing off Amazon the other day because I was worried that I didn't have enough house protection.
Yeah.
So I bought a crowbar.
Nice.
Lovely.
It's brilliant. It's great crack. But the only thing is, because you know, me and the wife are sleeping in separate beds ever since the crowbar came. that came out wrong. We've been sleeping in separate beds. It just happened that it was the day the crowbar came that we decided we're probably better off sleeping in isolation.
Oh, and
You do forget that the crowbar is beside you, and it's not actually a crowbar. I'm looking at it says it's a wrecking bar.
A wrecking bar.
I don't know what that is, but it's very pointy and it hurts.
What are we doing with it? That it hurts
in the tin. It's just for wrecking stuff.
Yeah, I know, but it's quite cool. But it's for anyone who's gonna buy one. You can get them on Amazon. They're £8 or something. But don't sleep with them.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a public service announcement that nobody ever needed ever.
that's the thing though, putting the warnings. It's like, don't put it in your eyes, don't sleep with it.
That's pretty much the rules, man. I think they were the bells in my wedding.
And on that note, let's start the show.
News.
That's it. That's all we need.
Weekly weird updates. Again, I try to stay away from the corona just because we're all saturated with corona news. You know, it'd be nice to have a little bit of escapism. But I ended up getting a corona story anyway.
Me too. There's no escaping it, but I just need to close my door. Hang on.
Okay, go ahead. So,
Still talk.
Yeah. So, one story I got. We'll do the non-corona story first, I suppose. So, let's see. Open that link up there.
Sorry.
So, police stop a driver making a 224-mile trip during lockdown to buy a 15-euro eBay item. Right?
Yeah.
That's not really the interesting part.
Yeah.
The interesting part is that the item he bought was so big that he had to put his wife in the boot of the car.
Is that when he was stopped?
So when they pulled him over, he had a giant package in the car and a woman in the boot.
Why are you doing driving so far? Is that the wife? Yeah. Yeah, had to get the pool table in.
The man had driven from Coventry to Salford, Greater Manchester, to collect some windows he had bought off of eBay. Despite the public being warned only to make essential journeys as part of the measures to limit the spread of the virus, motorway police, who pulled the man over the M6 in Cheshire as he travelled back home, were surprised to find his wife in the boot of the car. They said, they said she couldn't fit in the vehicle once the man had collected his purchase, so had to move into the boot for the 2-hour journey.
Jesus.
I mean, he only paid £15 for these windows. So
they're like single glazed.
I don't know. I mean, could they not just have shipped them to him?
Yeah. That's a man who just wanted.
Why did he bring his wife in the first place?
You what?
Why did he bring his wife?
Well, I was going to ask that question as well. Let's see.
Probably helped lift them in.
Yeah, well, it doesn't say. It just says that she went along and, yeah, there you go.
Unless he gave her fair warning. She said, oh, I'd love to get out of the house. She said, well, you'll be in the boot on the way back. Said, oh, yeah, don't mind. All right, whatever, 2 hours, here we go.
I think they must have, like, mismeasured the windows or the boot of the car or something.
Just put on weight.
She's ballast.
there you go. So that was like a little story. It's all coronavirus related. Like, they can't get away from it,
yeah.
Even though I tried. But here's a little funny story. So I have somewhat of a reputation for knowing certain things and knowing certain people.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of an unwritten rule about me that I've discovered over the years. But I probably could have told you this without looking it up. But medical fetish site donates entire stock of scrubs after being contacted by desperate health officials.
That's my story.
I mean, they could have just given me a ring. I've loads of gear.
But
they want ones that are clean.
Well, they want ones that yeah. I mean, they might have to be dry cleaned.
I think they're single use, but they had a
go. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you see, there's lots of stuff that I have that's single use, and I've used them more than once.
Yeah.
That condom's been gone 15 years.
It really has. It's
really full.
It's full. It's become quite brittle.
Oh, no. Obviously, on the outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, snake shedding skin. Oh, Jesus. That's a mental.
There you go. So the two of you have the same story. So obviously it's not just me that has the reputation and has that's drawn to fetishes and.
No, but it just brings up the point that like the NHS over in England shouldn't be doing that. Like even at this stage, where they're heading to fetish sites,
yeah,
going, give us your nursing gear.
Yeah.
I was like, really? It's like, yeah, we actually need it. It's like, okay, this one is crotchless. It's like, that's fine. We'll take it. We'll sew it up. Okay.
Yeah, I love the fact that, like, the stuff coming in from everywhere. Like, there was a, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out if, like, it was in the moment of, like, a panic or something, but, like, there was the thing locally where Cavan Hospital were appealing to painters and builders for any masks that they had.
Yeah.
Or, like, protective gear that they had. Or, like, surely you wouldn't want, like, building site gear coming in.
But it's a filtered mask.
Yeah.
Like, they get packets of them to use for jobs. Like, they're disposable as well, but it's...
I don't know why I thought that they'd be bringing in used ones. I don't know why I thought that. Like, on the way home from work.
Let's just hope you never have to appeal for toilet paper. You go to all those used ones. I don't know what you can do with this, lads.
I actually seen your face going from... Oh, yeah. Yeah, why would you do that?
Because I was like, they're nurses. They know if they've already used them, they can't use them again. And I was genuinely confused. And then I didn't think about it until 2 minutes ago. I was like, oh, now I get it. They want the stuff they haven't used. See.
All right. But to me, that's the equivalent of like a surgeon in a heart transplant, taking out a heart and looking at both of them going, oh, which one did I take out again?
Like, they're both used, have to throw it away.
Yeah. Busy, meeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah. Well, you would just, all you have to do is just go back to primary school girls and just bless the one that was used already.
Oh, yeah, well, that works.
It does, yeah. Just blow the dust off it and bless it.
Yeah.
Then,
again, like an N64 cartridge.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, classic.
Yeah. Or a vagina.
Why are you blowing the dust off it? I mean, you should. Why is it dust there in the first place?
Because, you know, there's no builders or plasterers masks because they're all in the hospitals. You're just getting covered in dust.
I think I've missed something here. Oh, there's my fucking hand.
That's the noise of Matt backing up the wrong tree.
Today we donated our entire stock of disposable scrubs to an NHS hospital. It's just a few sets, but we don't carry large stocks. But they were desperate, so we sent them free of charge. Also, as well, there's all these companies doing like whatever they can to get good PR out of this coronavirus situation.
Hang on, lads. My brother's at the door.
All right, go ahead.
Jesus, you keep talking, I'll be back.
Let you go. We were talking about that off air, Paddy, about the whole General Motors thing.
We were talking about a lot of things off air, man.
Yeah, we were talking about very few things that we can mention on the podcast. there's a lot of companies just seem to be like trying to put their best foot forward, like for a PR stance, just for the whole coronavirus thing.
There's not only a few companies, a few countries doing it. Fucking China.
Yeah.
You know, for the PR bastards.
Yeah, but they aren't here for PR. They're selling us the stuff. They're not giving us the stuff.
Yeah, but they're like, I suppose. Yeah.
Like if they really had any guilt, they'd just be giving us the stuff.
Chinese people don't have guilt. But that's a good thing. They're not guilty.
Well, because the Americans dropped it on them.
The what?
Because the Americans dropped it on them, is that right?
Stop you saying that. Where's Adam? He reigns us in. We need Adam.
Let's see. Let's have a quick look, see what else we have while we wait for Adam to come back. Because I could edit this later on, but that involves effort. I'm never going to edit it later on.
Sorry about that.
We just keep in those conversations about Adam. I mean, what? Sorry, yeah. Hi, Adam. You're back.
Hey.
Gas.
Yeah, so we found out very quickly that we need you here, Adam, otherwise we go off on tangents that we don't know where it could take us.
Oh, what was the tangent? What was the main tangent?
it was very quickly going to get racist, I'll put it that way.
Okay, well, I'll move on then.
Yeah.
So, I had the same story. Yeah. But I'm looking, I found 19 sex toys that can basically double as decor.
Ooh, or decor, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Nice.
So, I'll run through them quite quickly. So, there's a Bluetooth-connected couples ring with beautiful curves and contours that make it look like it could control those smart windows shades you installed.
What's a couple's ring?
Huh?
What's a couple's ring?
I have no idea.
Matt.
Our walking urban dictionary.
A couple's ring is a ring that goes over the penis like a cock ring.
Yep.
And then somewhere else on her.
Oh, kind of stimulates the clip?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Or on her toe or somewhere. I don't know. I've only ever used one end of it.
Oh, well, you know, the cock ring on then would be connected to her toe.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Brilliant.
Some people are into that.
All right.
Yeah, no, just no. One person into it, it's you because you made it up. Hey. Cock ring that connects to a woman's toe.
It doesn't connect to her toe. It connects to somewhere else. Well, I don't know because I've only ever used one end of it.
So, I've only ever used a little other fella. We both did that. And it was lovely.
It was lovely. And I'll thank you not to judge.
Number two. There's a rubber ducky vibrator for a little bath side decor you should probably hide when the nephews come over to hang out.
Yeah.
No, yeah, everything about them sounded creepy. When the nephews come to hang out in the bathroom, take away your vibrator because you won't need it.
Well, see, I've seen them. I think they're a good idea, you know.
What? Nephews or rubber ducks?
Rubber nephews.
Why are rubber duck vibrators a good idea, man?
Because there's actually been cases of women being electrocuted while masturbating in baths with vibrators.
Jesus.
That's a bit harsh, but, you know.
But that's why, look, you come to me for this information, you know, don't blame me for the results.
But why rubber duck? Like, what
because they're, because they're obviously...
not masturbating in bath.
But where else are you supposed to masturbate?
I don't have a bath.
Well, you all let me into your house to masturbate, so, you know, what am I supposed to do? I could have a list of places for you to go, but I'm not allowed in your house, so, you know.
No, you're allowed in my house. I made one rule, and you said that you wouldn't be able to stick by it. And I said, you're not allowed to have a prank in the house. You know, well, I don't want to go to your house then.
Yeah.
How many times have you been in your house, Adam?
Huh? Oh, God. Every visit, really.
Yeah?
Yeah. He just goes... Do you mind if I... And I go, yeah, sure, work away.
Yeah.
And I just get the Febreze out. And no one knows any different.
The Yankee candle.
The wanky candle, huh?
There you go.
Anyway, I think they're be good at it because obviously they're waterproof.
Yes.
So, you know, they're...
You know, most vibrators are kind of waterproof, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but then, like, do we know, like, twisty parts where water could get in? It's like,
it's sealed. You know,
that's what I meant to say, sealed. Thanks, Adam.
You're very welcome.
Number three,
I love wall art kits so guests can marvel over the fruits of you and your bae's intimacy like a Rorschach test.
We all know what a Rorschach test is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. We all know what a wall is.
Yes. Yes.
What are you talking about fruits for?
What? It's the fruits of your intimacy.
Yeah, but what would the fruit of your intimacy be?
It's basically you cover yourself and your loved one in ink. You roll over these those blank canvases and then you hang it up.
Why
not?
it's a shame now because I could actually show you my own one.
Nah.
No, genuinely, my sheets this morning I woke up and I was a bit scared. It looked like, well, it looked like to have been a bloody shit massacre.
Fantastic.
But what had happened was we went to bed with a bar of Aero and the wrecking bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep. I must have rolled on the wrecking bar, hurt my arm, and kind of gave myself a little gash in my elbow, and then rolled over the other way and lay on the last bits of the Aero.
Yeah.
And so it looks like there was like shit and blood all over my bed, but it was only a little bit, but it spreads. So I don't see how that would, like, if I hung that up on my wall and someone came over to see it, like, I can only imagine if you had ink on you and then other fluids.
Actually, you know, I'm guessing you'd probably get paid thousands for that. If you hung that up and framed it well and said, look at that, people go, ooh, isn't that amazing?
I will do it. Now I will send you the invoice.
I reckon you could sell it on a specialist website. Leave it with me, I'll find one for you.
There.
But I think that's a terrible idea. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to make it personal.
That's quite right.
But no, that's a terrible thing. Like, would you, if you went over to Matt's house and you're like, what's that? Oh, that's that new painting, Matt. He goes, no, it's me and Nancy were having sex and we decided to roll around in ink.
Yeah.
Oh.
Honestly, it really wouldn't shock me.
Fruits of their labor.
I just go, really? Gross. All right.
Yeah,
I'm not happy with that. I think that, like, I agree now with Matt. The rubber duck was a great idea. That's shit.
All right. I'm not selling anything. Number four, an eggplant vibrator.
Eggplant vibrator.
Yeah.
All right. So that's obviously a vibrator shaped like an eggplant. Yeah. An aubergine for real people.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a trio of hot drip bondage candles you can just put in holders until you're ready to use them.
Actually, here's the thing about hot drip bondage candles. Are they not just candles?
I think they are. Yeah.
Well, then why don't you just call them candles?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you can buy candles.
Hot drip bondage candles.
There's an amethyst wand that might just bring you some calm, patience, and peace.
Yes, we'll do that.
Do you feel the calm, patience, and peace inside you? Oh, yeah.
It's a spatula. But it does the same thing. And it can flip an egg like a fucking excited dog.
Yeah.
There's a Motorhead rocket dildo.
A what now?
A Motorhead rocket dildo.
Motorhead. Motorhead rocket. You're going to have to break that down for me. Motorhead.
So Motorhead dildo. The band. So it's a branded rocket dildo.
Okay.
It fills a void in your collection of band merch.
Yeah. Between that and me, Robbie Williams' autobiography, I should be set.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Be Robbie Williams' gift mask.
It's sad also that's the only rock and roll thing that I could bring to mind. It was going to be Robbie Williams' autobiography.
The Hannah Montana cock ring.
I got four of those. A glow-in-the-dark... Oh, look at that. A glow-in-the-dark cock ring for an adult version for those stars you stuck on your ceiling as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
A shooting star, shooting on your face.
Yeah.
A cactus dildo as a faux succulent you know won't die on you.
Cactus.
Yeah. Yeah. Not one thing I would class as a dildo.
No.
A pair of nipple suckers.
Sandpaper. A sandpaper vagina. No, thanks.
You can get a pair of nipple suckers that might just get mistaken for a pair of modern salt and pepper shakers.
Well, I mean, you know, why not? Because you walk around with salt and pepper shakers on your tits, wouldn't you?
Nipple pickers.
Every Saturday.
No, they made them.
A frisky feather duster to tickle your fancy and leave out as an elevated cleaning tool.
So it's just a feather duster.
Yeah, that's all it is.
So a lot of those things are just household items that people are using to pleasure themselves with.
Yeah. Sure.
Apart from the cactus. The
stick looks great now.
The cactus, I can't get my head around the cactus.
Well, it's not a real cactus. It is a dildo in the shape of a cactus. But you can leave it out as kind of like, oh, fake novelty thing I got in Portugal.
But it's a decorative cactus.
Yeah.
Plastic cactus.
I know. I'm still not on board 100% with that. That's
I'd be less embarrassed having me build a boat.
Yeah.
Having your one out.
Yeah.
Very good.
It just stays with me all the time.
Inside. Do you call it a wrecking bar by any chance?
But this whole thing where like fleshlights came from is where like he leave them out. They're supposed to like look like cans of beer or cans of nuts or something. You know, like. Many times people come up to my place and be like, what's that? And I'm like, that's my jar of warm liver I wank into. What about it?
And that you never clean out.
And never clean out.
But then, I normally say that, except for people, but then I have to introduce her by her real name. She gets very offended, right?
I know. So that's our story then, isn't it?
Yeah, that's us, yeah.
Right then, let's go on to some weekly Wazzle updates.
All right.
News. This is the bit where I get to do nothing.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
So, today is March 30th.
Yeah.
And really, it's a very short one. Not that really happened. But in 240 BC, it's the first recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet.
Give us that word again.
Perihelion.
One more time.
Perihelion.
What does that mean?
The first recorded perihelion passage.
Yeah.
I don't know, the first time we saw it, I suppose.
How are we supposed to learn if the teacher doesn't know?
I'm no teacher, son. But 240 BC, someone just went, oh, shooting star. I'll write that down in the sand.
I don't know. I don't think anyone back in 240 BC knew, first of all, knew it was BC. And they certainly didn't know that it was a comet they were looking at.
So they just went, oh, what's that? Write that down.
I think probably they just calculated backwards to like when the last comet would have been and then before that and then before that.
But this is the first recorded one. So someone saw something and went, saw something in the sky. Saw a moving star.
Look, the moon. That's a comet, you dick.
The moon spat at me. No.
All right, fair enough.
1796, Carl Friedrich Gauss, German mathematician, discovers the construction of the heptadecagon.
The what now?
Heptadecagon.
Hang on, give us the word in the first fact.
What? Perihelion.
Give us the one in the second fact.
That's a 17-sided polygon, and the first thing we said was when it's closest to this sun.
You see.
Thanks, Paddy.
And I mean, let's face it, we're always using heptadecagon.
Yeah, in full sentences and everything.
I don't think I spend a day without at least once or twice using the heptadecagon.
Yeah.
I think you really need to see it that good. I think you might have had a mild stroke.
1842.
Mine looks like a cactus and I wank with it.
This is closest to my son.
Wow.
Adam, this is why you need to be here.
You know, I'm good. 1842, ether used as an anesthetic for the first time by Dr. Crawford Long. But how did they do that? How did they realize? Here, smell that. Oh.
This is pretty much what they're doing at the middle of the coronavirus. They're like, are you cured yet? I'm like, no. Like, fuck it. Well, yeah. So we're getting a heptadecagon. Whatever. Fuck off. I'm sad. I'm trying to eat a baby belt. Sorry.
Up. I'll move on. So, 1858. Pencil with attached eraser is painted by Hyman L. Lippmann.
Hyman.
Hyman L. Lippmann. Great name.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so,
but,
I mean, so he got a patent just by putting an eraser on the end of a pencil.
Yeah.
So I'm looking around my living room thinking, what can I put a rubber onto? And
look down, Matt. Yeah.
It's the point. Is there anything else we have that has on the opposite end of it something that undoes what the top end of it does? Apart from the human body with the mountain share.
Right. That doesn't really undo, though, does it?
What does? You put the food in and it shits it out. What? You write down things and you rub it out with the thing. So it's pretty much exactly an eraser at the bottom of a pencil is the shithole of a pencil.
Well, that's how it was put to me in medical school, all right. That's how I learned about that.
I'm not a biologist, but I'm pretty sure.
Not full time, anyway. I don't know, is there?
A hammer. No, it's not really a good ramp. Do you know the hammer and the nail thing at the end?
Yeah.
Thought that would be, because you can pull it, yeah. I suppose it would.
Is there a tool that does the thing and also undoes the thing that the thing does? That's a very Bill Cosby, that. Is there a thing that the thing does the other thing and undoes the thing and drink this?
That's my next week's Back to the Future.
What about a screwdriver?
Yeah, you can do lefty righty, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm liking that.
Alright.
I'll look more of them up for next week. That's my Back to the Future.
1867, the Alaska Purchase. The US buys Alaska from Russia for $7.2 million.
Bargain.
Which is roughly 2 cents an acre.
Like on purpose?
Yeah.
Like it's all the way out in the corner there. Would you not just let Russia have it?
Well, see, I'm guessing they're thinking it's a passageway into America. So they're like, let's just cut that off there. We'll take that bit.
Yeah, suppose.
Yeah.
Mm. I like Alaska. I'd like to live there.
Alaska?
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Be nice and cold.
Nice and cold?
Mm. Nice and cold. There wouldn't be much stuff to do, which I reckon, Bar, though.
Hit snow with it.
Yes, you could. Go clubbing. You hit a moose.
I'd fucking love to hit a moose. Speaking of which, one good thing about this coronavirus is, I haven't heard anything about Kerry Katona in a while.
That's true.
That is
and
true.
And the two must be completely related.
Yeah.
Alaska, and then it made me think of snow. That made me think of Iceland, and she used to do adverts for.
It's good to see your train of thought.
I'm just glad I haven't heard from Kerry Katona. But now...
I like Kerry Katona.
Oh, I hope... No. Oh, I was about to say something terrible there, but no, I just don't like her.
I'll move on, so.
Okay.
1944, 781 British bombers attack Nuremberg.
Why, what happened?
Never heard anything about this. What's this about? Just bring this up.
It reminds you of all the memes that were saying that, you know, back in the day, our grandfathers were called to war, and now we're being told to just sit at home and do nothing.
Yeah.
And people still find that difficult.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me what to do. I'm going out. It's like, just stay at home.
But going to war is infinitely more exciting than sitting at home.
How do you know?
I'm just imagining. There's nobody shooting at me in my house.
But think of World War One. Would you rather be in a trench getting like your foot rot off and then eaten by a rat?
Now, World War One sounded like zero crack. World War Two, that was a good one. That's when they had cool uniforms and, you know, they were having a laugh.
Yeah, it's like, here's what it's like, right? It's like World War One was Temple of Doom. World War Two was Raiders, right? That's the way I'm looking at it.
All right.
I like Temple of Doom.
I do like Temple of Doom, but it's darker.
No, I just wouldn't want to be in World War One. I think that'd be more like a relative's funeral. And then World War Two would be more like the wake.
Okay.
Right.
Like you're having good crack at it, but you know it's kind of serious, but you're still having a drink and talk to your family that you haven't seen in a while. But then the funeral itself is a bit sad and depressing. So, World War One is the sad and depressing bit. World War II bit where you're like, hey, God, you fucking, I'm going to stab you. Don't shoot me, you big Nazi bastard. But that, now, I'm only assuming that you would be on the side against the Nazis.
Well, I think it's wrong to assume sometimes, Paddy, you know.
Well, no, exactly, but that's what I mean. So maybe, and I'm sorry if I've offended any Nazis that are listening, that you find World War II a bit sad. Because I understand I have to be careful in these days where you have to be, you know, tolerant and, you know,
considerate,
that's the word I was looking for. So my apologies to any Nazis.
I think you'll find that they believe that it didn't actually happen, so we're good.
No, the belief that what happened is the Holocaust, which we already explained, didn't. Matt said it last week.
Never heard of that.
I mean, I don't know. What?
1967, the cover picture of the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's, is photographed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was CGI.
It was, yeah. The Beatles could do crazy stuff back in the day.
Was it photographed or was it drawn?
What?
It's not like the crazy colourful one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The like psychedelic one.
No, it's not psychedelic. It's a picture of like, all famous people.
Oh, I got mixed up with Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely that photograph.
Yeah.
That was definitely drawn.
Hey, look. This is why I like this because I learn. Every day is a school day.
Yeah, you do. 1984, the world's most valuable tip. A New York police detective, Robert Cunningham, offers waitress Phyllis Penzo half of $1 lottery ticket, and next day they win $6 million.
Cage, bitch! Nicolas Cage did that!
Yeah, that's what it's based on.
Nicolas Cage is based on a film?
Yeah, he is based on just completely fictional.
Of course he is, because he's batshit crazy.
Speaking of Nicolas Cage,
yeah,
I asked you about this, man. I'm not talking to you, Adam.
Yes,
can you name any Tom Hanks film ever made? Not waiting. I can see you're about to answer. That wasn't the question. There is the second part. That wouldn't have been better if Nicolas Cage had been main actor instead of Tom Hanks.
So a Tom Hanks film that would be better.
Yeah, but is there any film that Tom Hanks has ever made that wouldn't be better if Nicolas Cage was the main character?
All right.
We tried to think of one, and there is one.
I'm going to come back to that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Didn't mean to spring it on you, but it's absolutely true. There's nothing that Tom Hanks has ever done in his life that wouldn't have been better if Nicolas Cage had taken his place. Tom Hanks is a prick.
Jesus.
Anyway, sorry.
1992 is the 64th Academy Awards. The Silence of the Lambs wins, and Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster all win. But did the director win?
Do we know who the director was?
No.
Well, then probably didn't win.
Okay. 1992, same day, man accidentally backs into the A's Jose Canseco's $225,000 Lamborghini. What would you do if you backed into a Lamborghini?
Drive away very quickly.
Yeah, just... But, what if it belonged to like a celebrity at the time? You went, would you go, can I get a photo?
No, I think I'd just drive away and hope nobody knew about it.
All right.
That Lamborghini's worth more than I'm ever going to be.
997, Channel 5 begins broadcasting in the UK and brought all those...
I fucking love Channel 5. Do not say a bad word about it.
Of course you
Channel.
Do. I bet you watch the shows
better for it.
Celebrity Feud.
Take It Away, fucking Celebrity Here's Me Knob, and fucking My Big Celebrity Tit Farm Tinker Wedding. Coming soon. Coming Soon was actually another program. So. It's just Lance about to ejaculate.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Channel 5.
It occasionally has some interest.
Forgetting this is being recorded. Fuck's sake.
That's it. That's it for the old Mark 30th.
Just to go back a couple of facts about Silence of the Lambs.
Yes.
Is there any Jodie Foster film that Nicolas Cage could replace Jodie Foster in?
Oh, man, you're just doing the pinball table, aren't you?
Yeah.
If Nicolas Cage was raping the accused that's playing the 16-year-old girl. Yeah, amazing. Get out of my ass. Amazing.
Taxi Driver and Bugsy. I'd love to see that.
Bugsy Malone. My name is Tallulah. Fantastic. Yeah. I just don't think is there any, like, is there any film Nicolas Cage wouldn't be better than anybody in?
I don't say better. It'd be more, just more interesting, probably.
Yeah.
Like Forrest Gump would just be fantastic.
We're going to rule Tom Hanks out just because he's overrated. But I genuinely think Nicolas Cage is probably the best actor that's ever been. There's no film I wouldn't watch if it was... personally, I wouldn't watch 12 Years a Slave. Sounds boring to me.
Yeah, it was only 12.
If Nicolas Cage was in blackface, I would watch it.
Well, now in fairness...
What if he was the... What if he was
You're
the
completely changing
character?
The context.
No. There's no change of context. He's just him pretending to be someone else. He could be a good slave.
Paddy, have you seen 12 Years a Slave?
I'm assuming it's exactly what I think it is.
Kind of, but if Michael Fassbender's character in it, if that was Nicolas Cage, that'd be pretty amazing.
I haven't seen. What's Michael Fassbender in?
He's a slave owner.
Yeah, he's the owner. I think he's with him the longest. And he gets quite...
Is he nice in it?
Huh?
No.
Is he nice in it? Well, what happens in the end?
He's freed.
Well, there you go.
The ship sinks. Well,
did you ever see that bit at the end of Con Air when Nicolas Cage gets freed?
Yeah.
I'm assuming there'd be the same kind of thing. His hair blown in the wind. And, you know, everyone's fine. And he gets off the plane.
And a big electric guitar riff.
Yeah.
Yo, you want slaves? No, cotton for you.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So for any of our listeners who haven't seen 12 Years a Slave, that's pretty much it.
But that's like saying Mickey Rooney shouldn't have played the Chinese fella in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
He shouldn't have.
Why?
It's racist.
More racist to make a Chinese person play Asian.
Paddy, the preferred term is Asian American. Move on.
Asian American from Palette. No, but like, do you remember playing Kato in the Inspector Clouseau films?
Yes.
I didn't see any of them.
Oh, they're very good. But was it not racist to make him play a stereotype of Asian people rather than doing an overtly obvious stereotype?
John, I honestly don't know. I didn't write the book on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It used a lot of big words there I wasn't paying attention to.
I just wait for you to fall asleep,
anyway, man. Nicolas Cage, I think, should be able to play a black slave.
Okay, I'll get on to Scorsese about it.
Oh, and there were slaves, and his name is Cage.
It's written for him, for God's sake.
There we go.
Yeah.
And again, apologies to any Nazis for my insensitive remarks earlier.
Yeah, let's apologize to the Nazis. Let's move on.
Well, that's me, I'm done. So here we are for Back to the Woocher.
Very good.
I'll do it, Matt.
So, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but we're in the middle of a pandemic at the minute.
What?
And, yeah. But, it could be worse.
Tell us how.
Here are some of the top apocalyptic scenarios we could be living through.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Have you ever heard of the Jupiter effect?
No.
Okay. Well, the 1974 book, The Jupiter Effect, by John Gribben and Stephen Pledgerman.
Good job.
That's not his name. Foresaw that the end of the world would come in the alignment of the solar system planets. This would create many catastrophes, such as giant earthquakes and other stuff.
And that's the Dark Crystal.
Quality research, bro.
Number 12, a zombie apocalypse.
Is that it, really?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, man, you know I don't listen to this very often if I do. Have you ever heard of the Jupiter effect? Yeah, what is it? I don't know.
I thought you knew. No?
It's when all the planets align and it's supposed to mess with the Earth's magnets and electricity and plates and shift everything around and cause giant earthquakes all over the world.
I think that's the Dark Crystal.
I've never seen that.
When was the last earthquake?
Wasn't there one somewhere quite last week, actually, wasn't there?
Exactly. So what you said is because we could be going through an awful lot worse, and we're going to, like, that's just happened last week, so what's your point?
That was one earthquake. This is like simultaneous, like the earth just quakes.
You only have one earth, man.
That you know of. Zombie apocalypse.
That's not going to happen.
Well, it could be secret military experiments or cosmic rays or whatever. It could be like a virus or a parasite. There are also diseases today that resemble zombie-like behavior, like rabies or sleeping sickness. We all know that there are treatments for this sort of ailment, but what if new and indestructible mutation of existing diseases rear its ugly zombie head?
In fairness, it's coming up to Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus was zombied up.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If the
quarantine, that's what they should be talking about. Jesus should be staying where he was. He's coming out, and they're like, "Well, go back in, Jesus."
That's exactly how he spoke.
Yeah.
No, Jesus.
Jesus Christ! Get back in there, Jesus Christ! That's where it came from.
So, like, you know, I Am Legend is that the plot that they had a cure for cancer crossed with a vaccine for measles and it mutated and it turned people into zombies?
Yes.
So, apparently, there's about 200 coronavirus vaccines in research and development at the moment.
Great.
One of them has to turn us into zombies.
Well, I look forward to the day.
So my question is, would you be either surprised, disappointed, or worried if that started to happen?
Disappointed?
What? Yeah, I think I'd be disappointed that it just got...
But at least you can see a zombie coming at you. You can't see a virus coming at you.
But I'd be disappointed. I go, "Oh, that's a shame."
I'm not angry at you, zombie. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, this has ruined my day. Oh.
I don't know. Are you saying would we rather a zombie apocalypse or the current situation where we have to sit in and just play computer games?
Yeah.
Or would we rather there were zombies trying to eat our brains?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm all right. I'm partly the zombies one.
You'd have to deal with less fucking memes on social media about people being bored and singing into a fucking webcam and think we want to hear about it.
Is that not what we're doing here now?
We're not singing.
Not yet.
We do this regardless. We haven't changed. The only thing we've changed is that, you know, we're not doing it in your house.
True.
It's the only thing that's changed. Next one that we could be living through is a subterranean apocalypse.
Oh, you've mentioned this before.
All right.
Is this like SpongeBob shit?
This is where we're underground.
Yeah, so we're all underground.
Ten
kilometers below sea level.
Oh, submarine, I'm thinking of. Sorry, yeah, subterranean, yeah. Okay.
I don't really have much interest in that one because it's all based on the film Reign of Fire.
Dinosaurs. Yeah. No, not dinosaurs. Dragons.
Dragons, yeah. Number 10, Alien Invasion. Which, you know, may or may not be coming anyway. Probably all just being prepped for an alien invasion.
Why are they coming here now?
What's...
the coronavirus.
Well, it'd be easy to pick up because they'd know where we all are. We'd all be at home.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because that's the only reason there's not an alien invasion at the minute is because they're like, oh, he might be... Fuck, I'm going to knock into him and see if he's fucking up, take us out. But he's fucking gone. Onto his Mars. Where's his man live? I don't know. They could be gone to fucking little.
Ugh. Well, they based all their research on Jehovah's
they
Witnesses.
Know where we live. that's why they brought the air code. It's pretty true.
Next one is large scale volcanism. So giant volcanoes wiping us all out.
Oh, that's going to happen at some stage.
Wasn't there, isn't there like a, what's the thing in Yellowstone? Isn't that supposed to be getting more and more active lately?
Yeah, well, it's due, I think it's 100 years overdue, a massive eruption that would wipe out pretty much San Francisco, not San Francisco, was it LA?
I think San Francisco,
that's overdue, an eruption, but, to be honest, I really didn't give a fuck because I don't live over there.
True. Yeah.
If someone said the Phoenix Park was gonna like fuck things up for people that lived like within 100 miles of it, I'd be like, oh, that's a bit worrying.
But, well, for the 17% of our listeners who live in California and San Francisco, we hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm not saying I hope it happens, Matt. There's a difference between not caring and hoping it happens. Like I'm not actively wishing it, but I wouldn't care to do.
Yeah, I get that as well. Because I
don't give a fuck if Michael D. Higgins kills over and dies.
Well, I wouldn't care about that either.
Oh, I would, because I would be fascinated to see what size that coffin would be. Would it be a normal size coffin, or would they do a compression to his body?
I think his size coffin only comes in white.
Yeah. Oh, dang.
Wow.
Dark.
Jeez.
Oh.
Next, we could be hit by an asteroid.
What's that? Michael D. Higgins in a fucking yes, buried in the cherub fucking playground, as they call it.
So asteroids. What do you think about asteroids, huh?
Oh man, I can't stop thinking about Michael D. Higgins in a child's coffin.
I didn't think it was going to get that much of a reaction. It was going to be a throwaway thing, you know?
Oh, no, man. That's probably the most deeply upsetting thing you've said. And you've said a lot of things.
I've said a lot today, never mind other days.
Right, go with your asteroids. I'm not going to talk for a while.
A large asteroid or comet colliding with Earth could cause an explosion greater than all the nuclear bombs on the planet combined. This kind of impact is thought to have caused the extinction of all land dinosaurs. The asteroid then was between 10 and 15 kilometers in diameter. And the collision would have released the same energy as 100 million megatons of TNT, which is over a billion times the energy of the two bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. More likely than some, but less likely than others, a big old rock coming through our atmosphere, potentially breaking into smaller super destructive pieces that scatter over the Earth. And we have ourselves another big bang.
Yeah, I see that happen more than anything else.
Really?
Well, there's one, like, didn't NASA say, like, only a couple of weeks ago, there's one of those heading for us?
No, it was one that was going to go past us. So it was still going to be further away than the moon is.
Oh, right.
You know, and that's, like, at least 15 kilometers.
If it was happening and NASA were like, you know, it's coming, it's heading straight for us, there's nothing we can do about it, except send Bruce Willis up in a giant drill.
I'd be like, no, fuck off, send Nicolas Cage. And Tom Hanks would be like, oh, guys, what about me? But fuck off, you're an isolation bitch. Wilson! Yeah, shut up. Sorry.
We'd have to have Michael Bay director.
Oh, Lens flare all over the shop, yeah.
Next is a nuclear holocaust like that brings upon the Matrix
or the Terminator class.
Kramer, yeah, one of them.
Ian Branca. Did you see him the other night quoting John Connor?
Oh yeah.
Actually quoting John Connor. You're like, oh man. Now, here's a question for you guys. What other film quotes should he have said in order to calm down the public during this pandemic? What should our gay Indian Prime Minister have said to us?
Get to the chapel.
In there, that's where that's going.
No one puts Ireland in the corner.
In the words of Patrick Swayze. Can someone please find a cure for this before I die?
What I said was dark.
Oh, man, it's not baby scuffing, that's hard. Baby Snubby puts baby in the cup. Here we go.
Pandemic is on the list, but this was written 3 years ago, so they couldn't have foreseen that we were going to be in a pandemic. So let's see what they said about a pandemic 3 years ago, will we?
Yeah.
Something we all do not want. Infamous pandemics include the Spanish flu, which infected 500 million people and killed 50 million people. The devastating HIV pandemic, another seemingly unstoppable force in the 80s, which still affects us now. If something similar were to happen again and we couldn't find a way to stop or control it, mankind would be decimated as it spread throughout the world.
Well, I'm going to sleep better knowing that.
Thanks, random website I Googled last night.
Because the HIV wasn't a pandemic.
It is a pandemic, though.
No, it's spread by blood, not by... You wouldn't sneeze. If someone HIV sneezed, then you wouldn't get it, would you?
No.
Well, then, it's not a pandemic. Fucking liars. No, fuck that. I'm not having that. Stop looking at your phone.
Okay, well...
Don't look at me, look what he's doing.
I'm not going to say that over the book.
I've spoken.
Climate change.
This is one we can all get on board with.
Jesus. Before you go on to that, has Greta been confirmed that she has coronavirus or not before I go into a tirade about her?
I thought she just kind of disappeared. I haven't heard of anything from her.
She's a whingy fuck. Hey, her and Tom Hanks can fuck off in a boat. Anyway.
Climate change. It's all to do with degrees and boring facts. Well, basically, the world's getting too hot. We're all going to burn alive.
Okay.
While simultaneously drowning because the sea's going to rise.
Oh, God.
So we're just going to boil to death. What's going to happen?
We'd just all be in a hot tub.
But I thought we'd fix that because, you know, restaurants are using paper straws now. Have we not fixed it?
I've stopped sticking me plastic straws up turtles' noses.
Yeah, stop doing all that.
Yeah. I'm just only wearing those ring things as necklaces, I found.
Yeah, I just stretch them out a bit and use them as cock rings.
I'm in other people's feet.
Let's see. Cybergeddon is the one that they're really worried about.
This is the potential
large scale sabotage of all computerized networks, activities, and systems. Cyber terrorism, cyber warfare, cyber crime, and hacktivism. This kind of cataclysm would lead to wide scale internet disruption or economic collapse. Which just, for me, just goes to show that, you know, the world's economy and everybody's money is just digits on a screen.
Yeah.
But to be honest, that was the one I was most worried about, if you had asked me like fucking 5-6 months ago.
Yeah.
I would have thought that it wouldn't have been so much the money thing. I would have thought that the information thing. Like if the Russian government decided to say, right, I'm going to release every single email you sent, every single WhatsApp you've sent, every single, all your web history.
Mm.
I'm going to make them public unless you fucking do what we say. Everyone would fucking comply. Not Like, no relationship would last if every single thing you've said online about your wrath. Like, you could have never cheated in your life, never even wanted to cheat, but you would have said something, and it would have been a case, oh, I see you called me a cunt last week, or 17 years ago. You know, and it's that kind of information that is public, that could be made public, which I thought was going to be because of the next kind of world war. And who owns that, and who gets to release it. But now we're all just scared about fucking, I mean, all we have to do is dab and cough into our fucking sleeves. Mm-hmm. So, when we get all over this one, lads, there's another one on the way, but it's going to be cyber.
Yeah, and we'll all just do what we're told, because, you know, some of us did what we're told during this one.
I don't think anyone has, really. How often is washing your hands, really? Yeah.
Oh, a lot.
How much is a lot?
I don't even know, but it is a lot. Between washing my hands and alcohol rubs, my hands are raw.
Alcohol rubs, I'd say. As a recovering alcoholic, I find these fantastic. where are they? An alcohol rub is... anyway, it doesn't matter. But we're fair enough, you're doing that, but are you... like, you say you're getting your deliveries in, or you're clicking goes and shit.
Whatever. Yeah.
Collect. Do you wipe down all the shit that comes into your house?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you really doing that?
Yeah, separate boxes and everything.
Man.
Oh.
I'm not doing any of that.
We're all going to your house when the shit hits the fan. Nice. I just got a wrecking stick, and Matt's just has the best and go.
We're sorted.
No, we are scrubbing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's actually expected. You seem like
you're not surprised at all. He's like, yeah, okay. Yeah, Adam will do that.
So, unsurprisingly, out of the three of us, Adam's doing everything he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, but Adam's probably going to get it more.
Great. Thanks,
you're going to get it twice, Adam.
Yeah, you're going to get our versions of it, because we're too lazy to catch things.
Yeah. We have, me and Paddy have herd immunity.
Yeah. Herdy fat bastard immunity.
That's my back to the future. I brought it up because last week there was something corona related.
There's always something corona related.
Yeah, next week there won't be. Next week I'm going to do I'm going to find jobs or things that are made to undo the things they're made for.
And make this guy shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to. We finish off with some good news, will we?
Yeah. Thank God.
Right.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
So you obviously can't see this if you're listening, but Paddy just made his wrecking bar dance all the way through that jingle. I love that your wrecking bar is baby blue colour.
Looks like a shoehorn.
It looks like Buzz Lightyear's crowbar.
I'm trying to show you the stains.
Oh, dear.
That's the chocolate. Blood is over here. Yeah. I'm going off the camera now because you still need to see this.
Oh, okay.
So, good news. Do you want to go first or will I go first?
I'll go first. Paddy, you're still on camera, just so you know. There you go.
No, I'm taking it off. There we go.
Couldn't escape the corona thing. So as Earth's ozone layer continues to repair itself, scientists happily report good news on global wind trends.
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that. So apparently the southern winds are going and are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. So they're kind of fixing themselves. The story basically says that. So it's been more than 30 years since the world banned the chemicals that were depleting Earth's protective ozone layer and simultaneously triggering some troubling changes in atmospheric circulation in the southern hemisphere. So, since 1987, phased out the production of ozone-destroying substances such as chlorofluorocarbons. Beginning around 2000, concentrations of these chemicals in the atmosphere started to decline, and the ozone hole began to recover. In this study, Banerjee and her co-authors have shown that around the year 2000, the circulation of the southern hemisphere also stopped expanding polewards, a pause or slight reversal of the earlier trends. However, in 2018 report, prior to 2000, both ozone depletion and rising CO2 levels pushed the near-surface circulation poleward. Since 2000, the CO2 has continued to push the circulation poleward, balancing the opposing effect of the ozone recovery. However, a 2018 report from the United Nations says that the infamous hole in the ozone layer could be totally healed by the 2060s, and in some areas of the world, by the 2030s.
There you go now.
There you are. Some good news. See, ozone.
And this is what we're saying earlier on, is that we fixed the ozone by not using deodorant anymore and hairspray.
Yeah.
And we fixed climate change by switching to paper straws.
Yeah.
So, really, you know, all it takes is one small, tiny change that nobody really cares about to make a big change.
This is it.
It's all bollocks.
Ah.
No. What's beautiful is, man, all the Earth needs to do to thrive is for us to not move.
Yeah.
So, realistically, and I hate to shit on you, the last time I came on is shit on your good news as well. Yeah. What you're saying is, the good news is, lads, the Earth's going to live, but we're all going to die. And if we don't all die, then the Earth's going to go to shit again.
Yes.
So,
well, yeah, the Earth's
cancer. I really don't give the... I'm not one of these fucking Captain Planet bricks that cares about the Earth. I don't really give a shit. Let it go to shit as long as I survive.
Yeah.
As long as I can. So fuck them.
I can get on board with that, because if we take care of the Earth, and then the only way to take care of it is by us not being here, then how are we going to enjoy it if we're not here? We might as well just wreck shit up.
So yeah, it's the exact same way I feel about Tato Park. I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here, so I'm going to just throw cans of beer at fucking kids' heads and fucking dress whatever way I feel appropriate and kick people. Because as long as I'm in Tato Park, I'm going to enjoy it. If I didn't go to Tato Park, yeah, fair enough, most people would enjoy it better, but I'm going to enjoy it while I'm there, so fuck them. They can't tell me I can't wear that.
What were you wearing? Or what were you not wearing?
It was Halloween.
Oh, God.
I was a sexy cowboy.
You're at Tato Park. Why would you not be a sexy potato?
Oh, I wasn't even at Tato Park.
It was a 2-year-old's birthday party.
It was a playground. I don't know where it was, but I was drunk. Well, anyway, Tato Park, fucking micros. They caused climate change.
They did, with that stupid roller coaster.
Oh, no, it's just made out of wood. And, you know, that's really healthy because you don't have to chop down a lot of trees.
No, they're true. Dublin scientists build a coronavirus-killing robot.
Sweet.
Well, now, I am all... No wonder Leo Blacker was doing the fucking old John Connor shit.
Yeah.
Oh, before you tell us, what would your robot be if you had a coronavirus killing robot?
The Coroninator.
That sounds like a fucking tribute band for the Coronas.
I think it had to be the one from Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah.
Would it not be Johnny Five?
No, Johnny Five is stupid.
He was alive, and he wanted to have sex with Stephanie.
He did, yeah. And then later on, he wanted to have sex with an Indian man in the sequel.
No, Matt.
True.
Oh, what would the name of that film be?
It was Short Circuit 2, live in New York.
Short Circuit 2, gotta bang this Bollywood lad.
Yeah. He either wanted to have sex with him or he was just there for tech support. I don't know.
I got another option too.
So, a car.
Go for it, not Mark. Go.
A car robotics and technology startup attached to Trinity College developed a robot emitting ultraviolet light to clean healthcare facilities quickly and thoroughly to help deal with the demand on hospitals as the number of coronaviruses escalate. The robot called Robot Violet kills viruses, bacteria, and harmful germs in a much shorter time than manual cleaning methods.
Robot Violet.
Mm-hmm.
That's so depressing. Like, fuck it. I don't even care if it works. We're not using it.
Like, if it wasn't going to be Johnny Five, it'd have to be the one from Rocky Five.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was that called? That was Debbie. He used to bring beer to the alcoholic.
An enabling robot.
Yeah. The enablator.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. No, fuck's sake. Violet. What do they call it? Was it Violet? I wasn't listening. I'm just annoyed by it.
So, how long do you reckon it takes to sterilize a hospital room top to bottom after you know, in between patients?
6 hours.
It depends on what's wrong with them.
Well, if you need to sterilize the room, it doesn't matter what's wrong with them. You need to sterilize it, whatever's wrong with them.
Silabang. Barry Scott, that's what they should call the robot.
How long do you think it takes? Silabang. No, that's, what the fuck? How long? Jim.
I love that you said silabang and we all understood it as a measurement of time. That'll take no time at all.
Well, in fairness, some people are saying, no, this is 17,000 light years away. You're like, well, okay, I'll believe you. But when I say still a bang, no one believes me. That's less than an hour.
It takes roughly 5 hours to sterilize a hospital room using standard cleaning practices.
Five still a bang.
Robot Violet can complete the task in 2.
Nice.
So it's pretty good. The robot.
You do in an hour.
You what?
If you get two robot violets, actually, be less than an hour.
Yeah.
So if you got like 5 robot violets, it'd be done immediately. If you got 6, it'd be done before the robot violets got into the room. And that's how permanent it is.
I love that train of thought.
Yeah.
That's my favorite train of thought ever.
Robot Violet is genuinely the worst fucking name of anything since what was that thing they had in fucking Blue Pricks? Avatar.
Yeah.
Unobtainium. Robot Violet. Why are you called Robot Violet? Because it has ultraviolet lights. Robot Ultra would be better. Fucking pricks. Where were they? Trinity, was it?
Trinity, yeah.
Yeah, the robot makes fucking sense.
The robot was tested.
Robot Violet. Pricks. Is that so smart now? Where he is when it comes to PR and marketing? Pricks.
Take a breath.
Sorry.
The robot was tested in a Dublin hospital last week and McGinn is awaiting microbiological test results which will confirm how effective it was. So there you go.
So it's not even been proven?
It's being tested. You can't just like, you know.
It's your good news. It's not even been proven. They have a shit name and it's an unproven thing that can't clean things as fast as Silabang. Lovely.
Well, you see, this is going to kill everything, where Silabang only kills 99.999% of stuff.
Coronavirus only kills fucking 80% of fucking people. So I don't mind.
It's more like 12%.
So Silabang is your fucking. I'm getting confused now. Robot Ultraviolet. Robot Violet kills more things than the coronavirus. That's not a good thing, man.
Well, it kills it by ultraviolet light. At sufficiently short wavelengths, it breaks down the microorganism's DNA. It breaks down the DNA. It doesn't just kill it. It wipes it out of existence.
Yeah. Is ultraviolet lights not the thing that give cancer to people?
No.
Why does a UV protection on sunscreen?
I'm not a full-time dermatologist, per se.
It's an oncologist we need for this one. But anyway... ultraviolet lights are very dangerous and they are carcinogenics. So it's not a good news. It's a very bad news story that they've delivered a robot that can give people cancer really quickly.
They're not going in and cleaning the people with the ultraviolet lights. They're cleaning the rooms.
Yeah. Someone's going to have to be in the room to take the thing out, man. Just saying. So, careful of the cancer-giving robots. and not a good thing. Thanks to Trinity College for trying to kill us all even more. So
that's a good news. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Where can people get us, Adam?
Best place to get is at our website, www.thenewsburp.com, where you get all the links to our shows and up-and-coming stuff. And then if you want to get extra stuff and find out more things that way about our top five and Florida Man, you can get onto us at www.patreon.com/newsburp. You get all our extra content, and we give shout-outs to the people.
Kevin Fagan, Mason Sloan, Nathan Peterson, Alexander Henry, Paul Blunson, and Sean Ryan. There we go. That's our patrons. Thanks very much for your support. If you don't want to, or you can't, throw us a few monies on Patreon, just by sharing us around, giving us a review somewhere, or recommending us, or giving us a tweet, getting in touch, all that stuff really helps out the show, because other people can see us, and that's how we spread. Huh? if we only had Corona's numbers, huh?
If you only had their PR.
Should get on to the Chinese.
Fuck the Chinese.
Oh, see you next week. Bye.
Bye.